Beautiful picture. One of my favorite places. Just for recording's sake, Book of James, chapter 3, the words of our lips. Just read those scriptures again. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes, stumble, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And I just wanted to, actually it's good that we've started again, because I just wanted to make mention here that last week when Barry preached, he spoke about people watching us. How will they get saved if our faith is not accompanied by works? In other words, our behavior is so very, very important. And I want to say that our words are very important. There are all sorts of people out there watching. That's what all those eyes are on the screen. They're watching. And you have children in your homes watching. You have children in your classrooms watching. There are people in the hospital bed next to you listening. And our testimony, our lifestyle in terms of our words and our deeds, they're both important. So James, verse 3 of chapter 3. This is what the Bible has to say there. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And there's a picture of the horse. I was terrified of horses when I grew up. Grade 11, I had my first horse riding lesson. And the lady told us to go and fetch the horses from the paddock. And I didn't know anything about horses, and I was terrified. So we went down, and she says, as they brought them out through the gate, be careful they don't squash you in the gate. And she swore like a trooper. It was the most dreadful experience ever. Anyway, once that rein was on the horse, and the bit was in its mouth, it actually was a bit more controllable. So I understand about bits in horses' mouths. And then a small rudder is the second illustration, makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Rob and I had a sailing boat. It wasn't a huge ship, but it was a sailing boat. Tested our marriage a few times. But the rudder was crucial. When you went around and that wind was blowing, that rudder was what controlled the boat going round and making sure that you didn't just capsize in the middle of the dam, which we actually did once. That was when our marriage got tested. So in the same way, the Bible says the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. And so the tongue is a fire. And a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Thank you, Ruth. We all know about those Knysna fires, very fresh in our memories. Mark and Wendy, your property got virtually destroyed through that. Pat was at home group this last week telling us she's just been to Knysna. How she went on a trip up the other one side of the heads and all the houses that just weren't there anymore. It happened so quickly. One tiny spark. And when you liken that to the tongue, the Bible says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. What a picture of destruction. Verse 7, many people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Glad these are not my words. It's very, very strong words. Verse 9, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. There's the picture. And this happens. Verse 11. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. And so the issue is not so much the olives or the figs or the grapes or the salty water. The issue is much deeper than that. It's the DNA in the fig tree, present in every single cell of that fig tree, that determines the fact that figs will be produced on that fig tree and not grapes or olives. And so with our mouth, this picture I've got there, can you go back please, Ruth? That picture that I've got there on the screen, up arrow. Okay. That picture there might look a bit like a split personality, but I'd like to suggest that it is rather indicative of a divided heart. And so let's just unpack that a little bit. Jesus said, thank you Ruth, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we don't just go to our tongues, we actually need to go to our hearts. And so we want to look a bit deeper today than just the words of our lips. So the next diagram, I want you to just, we're going to bring in bits, bit by bit by bit. That, by the way, is a person. Those aren't horns. I'll explain later what that's all about. So, we are made up, the Bible says, of our bodies, our souls, your body, your soul, my soul, and our spirits. And I'll explain to you why I've drawn the spirit like that just now. You'll see. And so, your soul is really you. Thank you, Ruth. Your soul is you. If, for example, somebody said, well, this is Pam's arm, I'd say, oh, well, if that's Pam's arm, where's Pam? Pam is me. Pat is you. Heather is you. That's who you are. That's how you're defined. That's how people know you. Never mind your body shape. It's who you are. And that's the area of your heart, I believe. And in that area of your soul are several different things. We first of all have your mind area, your thoughts, your memories, imaginations. Then there's the area of your emotions where you feel anger, love, confusion, disappointment, bitterness, jealousy, etc. Then there's the area of your will, which I put in red because that's the crucial part of you. It's so crucial to everything you are and do, your will. And that's the area of your soul. And that's the soul, that's the heart, which Jeremiah says is desperately wicked, your heart. And it's your soul area that needs to be saved. And so Jesus comes on the cross and sheds his blood, thank you Ruth, to save your soul. Thank you. Next click. Okay. Now, at that particular point, something very wonderful happens, as we know. Your spirit, which was dead in sin and trespasses, becomes alive. And when that happens, we are born from above. And the Holy Spirit, thank you, now has access into your life, into who you are. And so the Holy Spirit can now access you, influence you with himself. And so your soul starts to be transformed. The beginning transformation, spiritual transformation of your life starts happening at that point. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight at all. And to the extent that your heart and your soul area is being transformed, so that will affect how you use your body. Tony read that scripture earlier about presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice. And you can see how that happens here. If you have access to the Holy Spirit in your life, and you spend time with him every day and allow him access to your heart and to your life, you can present your body, and one of the members of your body is your mouth, your tongue, what you say. And it can be a weapon of righteousness in God's hands. And so that is the inner working of the whole thing. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're going to have a little bit of a look at that. And the next statement I want to make, thank you Ruth, is that a spiritually untransformed heart is a bit like a volcano. It erupts. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in our lives where we've just erupted. Why? Because of what's in our heart at the time. And I had the experience many years ago of visiting the island of Reunion. Way back, 1972, I think it was, long before I was married, a friend of mine called Margaret. And that there's an active volcano on the island of Reunion. It's one of the most active volcanoes in the world, actually. And at that particular moment, it was not erupting when we were there. So we were allowed to drive right to the rim of the volcanic crater. And so we drove and we climbed steadily up this mountain, and the bushes became sparser and sparser. And eventually there was nothing at all. We came over this rise, and that was the picture we saw. And it was such a shock, because we come from this beautiful, lush island, and we hit that absolute devastation. And here in the front was where we came over the rise, and that plain over there was like a lava flow that had now got rock hard. It was where the lava had once flowed across the plain. And you know, we opened the windows of the car, I think they were open, and we listened. Do you know that there was not a sound? It was totally silent. There was not a bird, there was not an insect, there was not a blade of grass or a leaf or a bush or a bird, anything. There was nothing. It was still as death. And I've never forgotten it. It made such a deep impression on me, and we drove down and quite a bit of awe, and we drove right across that road, right up to the top where the rim of the volcano was. And you could smell the sulfur in the air. And then we came back. So it was a memory I will never forget. And that volcano last erupted in July last year. And my question is, when did I last erupt? When did you last erupt? It's quite a thought. Because what it does is it spreads death. It spreads destruction. And so the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue in Proverbs chapter 21 verse 18. And so I believe that when situations happen, somebody hurts us, for example, or criticizes us, or something really negative happens like that, we have three choices. The first choice is death. And it will manifest itself in things like gossip, words of anger, lies, all those things that are so easy, such a natural process, just like a volcano erupts, it's such a natural process. That's one choice, and it is a choice. Remember the will that I spoke about in that diagram was in red? You have a choice as to what comes out of your lips. The second choice we have when something like that happens to us is to zip our mouths. And that takes a bit of effort, doesn't it? Takes a bit of application to not say anything, okay? But there is a third choice, and that choice is to speak life. Thank you, Ruth. And I want to talk about that this morning, because when your life is under the power of the Holy Spirit, you can choose to speak life with the Holy Spirit really accessing your life and influencing you. And don't put it up yet, Ruth, but I want to tell you about something that happened regularly as a phenomenon in Graaff-Reinet when we were there. The town is surrounded by mountains, but it's absolutely flat. And it's laid out very symmetrically, all the rows and the blocks. And the properties are very big. And our property that we rented at the time stretched from one block to the other. And it was full of fruit trees and bed laid out like that. Beds of where you could plant vegetables, and there was lawn at the back. And at the top of the property, along the road, okay, Ruth, you can put that diagram up now. There was an irrigation furrow. See the road at the top in green, the irrigation furrow. And it came from the town dam, the water. And when the town dam was empty, there was Mackie's pit, which the water wasn't so nice from Mackie's pit, but it did. It was water. And it used to come along the furrow. And every single property had assigned to it a time. Our time was 8 o'clock to 9:15. Once a week, it came at 8 o'clock in the morning, and once a week it came at 8 o'clock at night. I don't know if that happened to you when you were there. Did you not have it? Maybe they've stopped it. But that's what happened when we were there. And it was quite exciting, and a lot of the feuds in the town were because of somebody who stole your water back in the day. And so the water used to come along the furrow, and the neighbor before you there, property of the neighbor, there were sluice gates. There were thin grooves in the outside irrigation furrow, and there were these metal plates that you could put in. So he would have his all set up ready, and he'd open the sluice gate into his property and close the sluice gate across the irrigation furrow. And then the water would come rushing in, and it was powerful and it was fast, would come rushing in and flood his property. And then at exactly 8 o'clock, he had to be there. And he had to close off his property. We had our sluice gate in place in the irrigation furrow and open into our property. And the water would suddenly rush through. And you had to be ready. You had to have a spade. At night, you had to have a torch. And sometimes you used the torch instead of the spade. It was so fast. But it was amazing. It would flood that vegetable bed, flood the fruit tree beds. And Graaf Reinet produces the sweetest oranges imaginable. Huge, great. This is no exaggeration. We took a photograph of one navel orange, so big, because we took a photograph of the tennis ball next to it, just to show it was true. And they weren't being held like this either. They were right next to each other. And so we grew watermelons there in the dry ground of Graaf Reinet. Watermelons. That was amazing. And they were lovely. And so that was the story of our irrigation. But if you didn't choose to be there at 8 o'clock to put down your sluice gates and open the ones into your property, that water just flowed right past you. Or maybe the neighbors stole your time. But you missed the opportunity altogether. And that water was life-giving. Now, I'm talking about speaking words of life. Now, if you go to the next slide, Ruth, thank you. We've got back to that diagram again. Opening the sluice gates is like daily allowing the Holy Spirit access to your heart. It can't only happen the day you get saved. It's a daily thing. And to the extent you're allowing that will be the extent to which God can actually influence your heart and continue the transformation process. And you could miss an opportunity to actually speak life into somebody else's life. And so often we are just in the business of either not speaking death, zipping our mouths, but we forget about the wonderful opportunities to speak life. And so I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to ask the question, what are the words of life? Thanks, Ruth. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit gives life, and the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And so they're the kinds of things that Jesus would have spoken. So let's have a look at some of them. First of all, there's encouragement, words of encouragement. And we heard from Barry's message that we are to take courage when we go into the promised land was the context of the thing. But Jesus also said that. He said, take courage. I have overcome the world. What wonderful words for those disciples to hear on the eve of his death. Take courage. I've overcome the world. Those words would have rung in their ears. In Hebrews, in two places, it talks about encouraging one another. And in the Hebrews 10 passage, it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, and it's the only habit mentioned in the Bible, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so that's why we meet on Sundays. It's why we meet at home groups. It's where we do life together. It's where we can encourage each other, really encourage each other, spiritually. Sometimes I think we come to church with the idea of, I wonder who'll be there today and chat and how was your week and blah, 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 blah. But maybe we aren't praying before church saying, Holy Spirit, come and influence my heart. Who would you like me to specifically encourage today? And maybe you come to church, you think, well, I'm encouraged. I don't need any encouragement. But I want to tell you that there are others sitting around you who are not encouraged and who really need your encouragement. And so we need to be asking the Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Help us to see what you're seeing. Help us to hear what you're hearing. Help us to give encouragement where it's needed. And then secondly, another word of life we can speak is affirmation and praise. Affirmation, words of affirmation, is actually a love language. You know about love languages? Anyone not heard about the five love languages? Everyone heard about the five love languages. Okay. So words of affirmation is one of them. And you'll know from teachings on love languages that if you don't get affirmed, you don't feel loved. You could be getting all the gifts in the world, have quality time spent with you, etc. But if you don't get verbally affirmed. You don't actually feel loved. And so lots of people have that as their love language. In the workplace, we once listened to somebody speak, an employer from a global leadership summit. And he was saying that even negative feedback to an employee is better than no feedback. Because when there's no feedback and it's just silence, you think, well, I might as well not even be here. I'm not noticed. I'm invisible. So how important is it in the workplace to actually give words of affirmation and praise? I remember our son Richard, when he got appointed to a new position or a promotion and had now people under him, he had learned this. And he said it changed the way the work, the productivity of the whole team, just by affirming people. And he put it into practice. And then there's your children. So important to affirm them. So easy to reprimand them. And one of those teachers, I forget who it was, about child rearing, said you should actually affirm 10 times to one reprimand. Then a child feels built up. And you know what? They'll absorb that affirmation into them. It will become who they are. But they'll remember the reprimands probably better. But so important to build them up and to say, well done. Find things to affirm them for. Even if it's a tiny little thing, find it and affirm. So important. Who are the invisible people in your life that you see but maybe you don't really take notice of? How about the gardener who's outside the whole day? Do you ever affirm your gardener at home? The other day, Inna Shilembi, whom Shelley, and thank you to Shelley, who's supervising our gardens. We have garden services doing the mowing, but this time of the year we have to have someone working in the garden because of all the weeds and the growth and all the rest of it. And Innocent Shilembi is the most amazing gardener. He worked for us when Daphne Farrington was in the church. She used to supervise him, and then she needed him full time. Now she doesn't anymore, so he's actually available. So we asked him, would he come? And he was very thrilled to come, very thrilled to have the job. And when you go, leave church there, you must go and have a look outside here at the way he's made this pathway up to the top if you're parking there. It's the most fantastic job. And I said to him on Thursday, I said, Inna, I said, that's a wonderful job that you've done. Do you know that he just beamed, absolutely beamed. People love being affirmed. Some people never have anyone affirming them. And your words can make such a difference. They're words of life. Praise people for what they do. And then the next one is thanks. One other thing. That scripture in Matthew chapter 25. At the end of time, when we stand before God, that's when we will be so blessed to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So let that will be what Jesus says to us. So let's emulate that in our own lives down here while we can make a difference. And then the next one is thanks. And that story in Luke of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, only one of them came back to say thank you. And Jesus, that story is in the Bible. If only one of you come back, give thanks, give God glory. And thankfulness is a God thing. You don't find it out there in cultures that don't have God. There's no word for thank you. Derek Prince discovered that in some tribe up in East Africa. There was no word for thank you. They had to invent a word for thank you once they began to know the Lord. And so thankfulness is so important. There needs to be thankfulness between a husband and a wife. Thankfulness from the children to the parents and vice versa. Any little things. Find things to say thank you for. And thankfulness actually comes back at you in a wonderful way. Thankfulness breaks bitterness. Did you know that? If you start saying thank you, it breaks bitterness. It's amazing. And something else I wanted to say about that. Oh yes, something that you might like to try that Rob and I have attempted to do for many years. Before we go to sleep at night, we try to say thank you to God for 10 things that happened that day. Not 10 weeks ago, not the same things every night, fresh things. And you'd be amazed what you can find to say thank you for. Little things that you notice. In big things too, but to say thank you. And then the last one I want to talk about is blessing. Very similar to affirmation, but blessing. In Proverbs 31, anybody know what Proverbs 31 is about? Any of the ladies know what Proverbs 31 is about? About? The excellent wife. Mm. And I was privileged to sit in with Rob on many premarital counseling situations. And this is a very daunting chapter for the new bride-to-be. Megan's smiling. Proverbs chapter 31. But Rob never left the husbands off the hook here. He took them to the last verses of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28 and 29, where it says, after all these wonderful qualities, it says there, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and in other words, he also blesses her and praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So important for wives to hear verbal blessing from their husbands. It's not enough to just think. A wife needs to hear. And maybe it was never modeled in your home growing up, but a husband needs to be verbally affirming his wife and blessing her. Then you'll have an excellent wife, probably. Okay. What an opportunity also to really bless your children. Jesus blessed the children. Have you ever wondered what he said when he took them in his arms and blessed them? Do you think he only gave them a hug? I think he said things to them. I think he would have said things like, you're so special to me. You mean so much to me. Can I pray for you? Can I pray a prayer of protection over you today? Rob used to pray for our children on the way to school every single day before he dropped them off. Such an opportunity. You could talk about all sorts of other things, but to pray for them, to really bless them, for God's protection on them, etc., etc. Wonderful. Or anything that they're concerned about for that day. And on their birthdays, make it special by praying for them and blessing them, laying your hands on them. Wonderful. Laying on hands is a way of blessing people. Bless your children like that. Any special occasion, bless. And then in Numbers chapter 6, verse 23, we have the famous Aaronic blessing. I don't think there's a better blessing that anyone could pray over anybody than that blessing. What does it say? It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Such a fabulous, fabulous blessing to pray. In fact, the priests used to invoke that blessing over the people. So those are four different ways you can actually choose to speak life. So let's this week be asking the Holy Spirit to influence our hearts so that we won't just do our own thing, but we'll actually be on the lookout for people that we can encourage, affirm, thank, and bless. And then there are three prayers that I think in this whole area we could pray daily. Here's one of them. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And as you pray that, you know what you're praying. You're saying, have access to my heart so that my lips will speak the right things. And then the second prayer is one I've taken from James chapter 1, verse 19. And turned it into a prayer. Thank you, Ruth. Dear Lord, help me to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's a prayer we can pray. Very easy. You can remember the pictures. Help me to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then the third prayer is one that I went through a season in my life where my tongue was a problem. And I really had to pray. I really had to pray. And the verse the Lord gave me was Ephesians chapter 4. And from verse 29, where it says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such as is good for edification, that it might give grace to those that hear. So every morning I used to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, today may my lips give grace to those who hear. It's more than just shutting up your mouth and not saying certain things. It's actually choosing to speak life, to give grace to people in what they say. And as I said, it was a season, and it was every day I prayed that prayer, and I often still do and still need to do pray that prayer. And then the last picture I thought was such a wonderful thing to end off with: to control your tongue, let Christ rule in your heart. That's the only way it will happen. So Holy Spirit, daily, come. Come and give me that life that I need. Holy Spirit gives life. Let that life of the Holy Spirit transform your heart so that Christ can rule there. Not just be Savior of your sins, but be Lord of your life and of your heart. And then the words that your mouth speaks will bring blessing. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thanks, Pam, for that really wonderful word and such a practical word and such a powerful word for us to take into our lives, of how we can be such a witness for the Lord through the way that we speak. I was thinking about it, and just to finish with this verse for us, it's Jesus speaking, and he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," I call this the same as what Pam was saying, "out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So thank you, Pam, for that message, let us go to Jesus as we thirst. For out of our hearts and therefore out of our mouths will come rivers of living water. Let's pray as we close.